I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Planta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, March 6, 2017.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm just, as we're chatting here, I'm at my desk. Look at all these business cards. You know, I always thought business cards would be out of fashion by now, but... I mean, like, this is one at a restaurant that I went to. Like, you know, you pick it up as you pick up a toothpick, I guess.
Right.
This is a moving company. I don't know why I have these.
Because where are you moving?
No,
are you
moving sometime soon? This is a Salt Spring Island Airbnb. Like, oh, these are friends of mine. They have an Airbnb that they're renting out.
Would you remember that? If you were thinking of them, would you look for that card?
Well, I can look up their phone number in my book, I guess.
Well, I know you're quite usually... from what I remember, quite organized with your business cards. Is that not happening anymore?
I used to collect them, you know, for a while.
Right.
And then, then I stopped. And then now I don't really collect them, and so they just sit here. But then, you know, I don't want to throw them out because, you know, you never know. Because it's, well, like this here. I met this guy on the weekend from the New Westminster Archive.
Right.
So he gave me his card.
And
I might need that tomorrow, or I may need that 3 weeks from now, so I'm not going to throw that out. But at the same time, I'll misplace this and then forget.
Well, exactly. Then it's completely ridiculous.
And then otherwise, I just leave a pile here on my desk, and then they mess up, you know?
So. Well, see, this is the thing. As you said that, I just thought of how, you know, people pick up weird habits from people.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, this... your collecting of business cards must have started sometime when we were in
elementary school, yeah.
Right. So I think somewhere along the line you probably influenced that messed up habit onto me, because I remember collecting business cards. I have no reason for any of them. I've looked back at some of them that my grandma took me on we went on a tour once to the house.
Yeah.
In the British properties.
Yeah.
And I took a card from... there were cards in every room in the house of kind of like who did the staging.
Yeah.
And where the furniture was from. And I was maybe like 10, 9 or 10. And I took a card from every room. And I still remember this. And I think I even still have some of them in one of my old diaries from a child. Like... what was I gonna? Was I gonna go out and get my own handcrafted iron chair? You know, no. Was I gonna get some wicker bed made? Probably not.
But they were there, and so you grabbed them, right?
It was there, so I grabbed it, and again, it was something some weird egocentric friend placed in my head that collecting business cards was a thing. So. I too have that addiction, but you know, I hate the hoarding of paper. Like you said, you just get these piles on your desk, and then you can't find them when they're relevant.
No.
Either that, or you've got a pile of them in your wallet, like I do.
Yeah, and then I never have my own. Like, so the guy from the New West Archive gave me his, and I didn't have one to give him because I never packed any with me.
Well,
so
and that's not professional at all.
No. Well, you can just Google me and you can find me. I mean, I'm not a difficult person to get a hold of, but I mean,
you could Google anybody, but
yeah.
there's some allure.
Yeah, and there's a little social habit, I guess. He's giving me his card, and I didn't have anything to give him.
It's not cool.
So, you know.
It's not. I carry mine everywhere now. I mean, I was down to my last one the other day, and the edges were kind of,
yeah.
I don't know. How do you feel about that if somebody gave you a...
oh, as long as I have the number on it or the a way to contact them, that's all I care about. It could be on a cocktail napkin or, you know, back of an envelope. It's fine as long as I have the information.
Like you using business cards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, we would think, surely there's an app for that, right?
Oh, I'm sure there is, yeah.
Business card apps.
Yeah.
But who uses those anymore? But I don't know. A lot of apps for, though, nowadays.
Well, I mean, with Google, it's just easier to think. If I need to Google somebody, it's the easiest way, right?
You can Google anybody you want.
Yeah.
You could, technically. But I was saying, with apps, there's so many, and especially dating apps, hundreds. I've personally am not interested. But
yeah, well, there's a story in on Friday. This was on the CBC of this kid. Well, he's 21, but he went on a dating site, I guess,
right?
Or chat thing, because it was on his phone. And so he was looking for someone to go out with. And so this girl, her name on the website is Ashley. Her profile says she was 19 years old. And so they start chatting, and they're talking, and, you know, they want to go out on a date. And you know, as they're chatting, Ashley says, "No, I'm actually 14.
Right.
So this kid, Jackson Jaco, he's 21. Says it's okay. Now, he's from Burnaby. He suffers from ADHD, Attention Deficit Hyperactive Disorder.
Right. And so, yeah. And he's also, he's 21.
Yeah, but he's...
but he does not process like a 21-year-old.
Yeah, he's developmentally delayed and mentally challenged, according to... And I saw that his dad and him were on the CBC News on Friday night.
Yeah.
And... So I guess these you've heard of them, the creep catchers?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and so this one is creep busters.
There's so many different variations.
Yeah, I guess the creep catchers, I've seen that guy in the news over the last few months, and he works out of Surrey.
Right.
And so this was in Coquitlam, and so it's, I guess, creep busters.
Right,
and
different,
so,
yeah.
So I guess Ashley and Jackson... agree to meet outside of where he works. He works at the Planet Ice in Coquitlam. And a guy comes up to him and says, "I'm from Creep Busters or Creep Catchers. And I'm Ashley." And then starts asking Jackson, "Why would you want to meet a 14-year-old girl?"
Right.
And, you know, we've all seen that, right? I mean, we've seen all these videos online and on the news and the sort.
Yeah,
But I guess the point in this case is that this guy is developmentally challenged, and he didn't understand, I guess, that when they start talking and she says she's 19 and then says, "No, I'm actually 14, he didn't think that that was illegal. Like, he couldn't process that or whatever, right?
No. Well, to him, he doesn't get it. He's never had a girlfriend before.
Yeah, he probably doesn't realize that that's illegal or...
Doesn't even realize it's illegal, and I don't think he sees the social kind of the social faux pas, if you will.
Sure, yeah.
To what he's doing. And this is the thing. This is the problem with these creep catchers is they're not able to vet these people. They don't have the skills, abilities, knowledge, training, or anything to
like
vet
a cop
these
does,
people.
Yeah.
Right, you know, before, like a cop does, before they go out and...
bust them.
And try and bust them,
yeah,
so to speak, or, you know, with their vigilante justice.
Yeah.
Of course.
But we all watch this over the years. I mean, what's a guy on NBC? Chris Hansen?
Chris Hansen on Catch a Predator,
yeah,
but those were very detailed operations.
Yeah,
there was some investigation done still on their part.
Yeah, they knew who the guy was, and they knew what he did for a living.
And this was usually like ongoing conversations, right? Law enforcement was involved, and
because they were waiting around the corner, and then they would jump in and.
And they were, right, they were lured, I mean, not lured to a home, but these guys would show up to a home and, you know, the conversations were pretty, they were pretty lengthy. In these cases, a lot of them are, you know, like, this kid was lured on a dating site. I think there needs to be some sort of, like, some discretion there. Like, a dating site typically is for older people anyway. So I have questions around that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like he's going into the realm of children, looking for children.
Yeah.
You know, this guy was going into an adult avenue. looking for another adult, and then this person randomly comes up and says, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm actually 14.
Yeah. So when you see these videos, well, you can watch them on Facebook, on YouTube, mm-hmm. and so forth, and we've seen them over the last year or more now in this part of the world, especially here in Metro Vancouver.
Right.
Did you think before, taking Jackson's case out of consideration for just a sec, do you think the work that they're doing is good? Because they have busted cops, they have busted teachers, people that shouldn't be doing this sort of stuff.
Oh, no, that's great. But I think there's still, you know, process, procedures, there's ways to do things that don't put other people at risk and at harm. And remember, it's still exposing someone's identity, right, which is, could be a breach of privacy.
And they're being investigated for right. this currently.
And you, yeah, and that makes you open to a defamation suit. So you have to tread lightly. I'm all about catching the people that need to be caught. But it's like, let's be effective when we're doing that, so that when they're getting caught, they're actually being held accountable. And, you know, there's a lot of these guys, too, who I've seen or have heard situations of they've been under investigation, and because the creep catchers kind of lured these suspects somewhere else while the actual law enforcement was already, you know, trying to handle the situation. So
yeah. Screwed up the case.
Kind of screwed up the case, yeah. So, you know, there is, a little good from it as, you know, vigilante justice, but I don't think that good is really going very far. Not to mention, a lot of these guys of the creep catchers' arms, they're under investigation. A lot of them have their own financial issues, and a lot of them are doing this for some sort of financial gain as well, right?
So the guy in Surrey who was a spokesperson over the summer, last summer, mm-hmm. he has a lengthy criminal, I forget his name. I looked it up and I saw that he has a rap
sheet
himself.
Yeah, I looked him up as well. I've looked them all up here.
Yeah. So so what happens then? Do we stop them from doing this or do we... I mean, I think it's either or. I don't think... It's either they don't work or they do work.
Well,
like they do function, I should say. They should do their creep catching or not.
It's not a well functioning design that they have here. This model is not. I mean, currently the guy that kind of started this whole thing, aside from Chris Hansen, of course, this guy Justin Payne. He's in Toronto. He's a construction worker. And he essentially started doing this kind of rogue by himself years ago. So he'd go online and have long, ongoing conversations and kind of relationships with these people online, and would change his voice to sound like a 14-year-old and would say he was 14, and these people would still continue, and then he'd meet up with them.
And then bust them,
right? Mm. So... he essentially kind of, he started on his own, and he was on W5 recently, and he wants and proudly says there's no affiliation between himself and the Surrey Creep Catchers or the Red Deer Chapters or any of that. He works completely independently, and he's actually quite upset that it's gone kind of the way it has.
Gone sideways, yeah.
It's gone sideways. You know, one of the things with him, this guy, this Justin Payne, is he holds a lot of remorse as well, because another part to these stories is the people that do get caught and exposed and then, you know, are faced with the backlash.
Yeah.
Right? Some have called
social
him
stigma and so forth.
Social
yeah.
stigma. You know, these people also may have children, families, wives, and everything of their own, right? These people
yeah.
might have jobs, and he's gotten phone calls from people that are in tears begging him to take the videos down because they're going to kill themselves
Yeah.
And, you know, for a normal person who has a heart, that's a lot to take. You know, with thoughts aside that, yes, they were, you know, probably about to attempt, they were attempting pedophile behavior or whatnot. But still, it's a lot for him to take on as a person, just mentally.
Yeah,
so that's kind of one of the things they talked about in the
Yeah, and in poor Jackson's case, so they meet up in front of the Planet Ice where he works.
Right.
And that's all he has in his life, really. It's heartbreaking because he's crying on the news on Friday.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
They want to see his manager. He takes them in, and they tell the manager that this is what he was doing, and then they fire him right away. And then
which is so disgusting.
Yeah.
Because apparently he had been playing hockey there with his family, too. He's with Planet Ice over 20 years.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's, and he himself is only, what, 22?
21, yeah.
You know, so it's caused, I mean, you imagine the distress and damage that that's caused.
And they show no remorse, these creep catchers and creep busters.
Not at all. Not at all. To take into consideration that this child, is developmentally disabled. He's essentially...
He's embarrassed by the video, and he's lost his job.
I mean, and who are these guys who are not coming in with clean hands, as it is, to make these arbitrary decisions on who's guilty and who's not, and what makes them guilty of a crime and what doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
And this, you know, unfortunately, this young man is one of many stories that we'll hear of. There have been many others. You know, there was the one a few months back. I think it was a transgendered female who had been kind of lured in by the creep catchers. She had already had some, was already having some issues, some depression issues and such,
mm-hmm.
and essentially overdosed a month or so after being caught and exposed by creep catchers
on the website. Yeah.
Right. So it's having some real detrimental effects, and I think they just need to really reconsider their marketing scheme, if you will.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing that they'll argue in favor, why they should continue, and they'll say, well, let's say we catch 100, we do 100 of these, and
right,
99,
they're saving lives.
99 of them are legitimate, you know, assaults
right.
or attempted assaults or pedophilia or whatever you can charge them with. And
right.
then there's one of these cases with Jackson. 99 out of 1 is pretty good, especially when law enforcement in this part of the world does not have the resources to do this sort of investigative work, or the networks don't have the resources to do to catch a predator show in this country.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, you just look at numbers, 99 to 1 is okay. That's what they'd say.
That's what they'd say, but I mean, really.
I mean, it's either that or no one gets caught.
It's hard, isn't it?
Mm.
But, you know, for the greater good, I think they just, again, need to stop and reconsider.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, a lot of these people that do this sort of work, these busters and creep catchers, are not reasonable people or.
No, they're not. And I'd need to see some numbers. I mean, I think there's some question when.
I don't think we've seen it. We've seen a conviction yet. I mean, we've heard of the cop that got caught and the vice principal at a school.
Right.
But we haven't seen a conviction or even a trial at this point.
Well, because essentially they're not even turning over
the evidence.
They're not even turning over their records to law enforcement, right?
Yeah.
So that's a problem.
Yeah. Well, it's an unpleasant case, especially for this young man.
Oh, it's been sad, and I think there's a lot. I mean, for me, there's questions to be asked of Planet Ice. Like, really, you guys? What's up with that? I think they were just avoiding maybe the potential
possibility
of having to answer those questions that may come. And I think it shows the clear lack of solidarity and loyalty they have towards their, not only a long-standing employee, but somebody who's essentially been a member and user of their service for over 20 years.
Exactly.
You know, and that's something, something to think of, about, you know, when you're...
If you want to go play ice hockey or something, whether you choose to go there.
Exactly. Maybe there's a few words we could all say to the owners or managers at Planet Ice in Coquitlam.
Yeah.
Sad story. I hope there's a positive that comes from that.
So have you ever watched the show, the film, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
That's a film, right?
Yeah, Joan Crawford and Betty Davis.
Oh, okay. Is that fairly new?
No, it's 1962.
No, that's absolutely not. No, I haven't. I've heard of it. Sounds very familiar.
It's a good film. It's a horror film. They made this when they were in their 50s, so they were older than they were, say, when, you know, they were in their prime, I guess, in Hollywood.
Right.
And so Ryan Murphy, who does all kinds of shows.
About Ryan Murphy.
His new show is this one called Feud, and it's about the rivalry between Betty Davis, who's played by Susan Sarandon, and Joan Crawford, who's played by Jessica Lange. And it's a, like I said, it started last night, and it's on FX. And if it's going to be like that OJ thing or the American Horror Story shows, it's going to be a big hit.
Good. Well, I think anything with Jessica Lange is quite amazing. I think she's an amazing actress. And who did you say was playing Betty Davis?
Susan Sarandon.
Oh, she's lovely as well.
And they've got Catherine Zeta-Jones and Kathy Bates is in it. And
Kathy Bates.
Stanley Tucci is in it. And Alfred Molina. It's just a well, I guess that's Murphy's talent as a producer. He gets all these people.
Well, these are his connections now. They've made big things with, I think he's kind of proven what he can do with their adaptability in American Horror Story. I mean, especially Kathy Bates and Jessica Lange, right?
They both won Emmys for working with in the American Horror Story things, right?
Yeah. And that was almost like, I mean, for me anyway, it was almost a revival for Kathy Bates and Jessica Lange in American Horror Story, right? I mean, it's been a while since I've seen them in anything, especially on TV.
Jessica Lange is underrated as an actress because when she came on the big Hollywood scene, I guess in the 70s, she came around the time with Meryl Streep.
Right.
And, you know, she took some time off to raise a family. So did Meryl Streep. But Meryl Streep, you know, in 30 years...
She was a little more accomplished by then.
30 years, she's got 20 Oscar nominations. Jessica, but let's not forget, Jessica Lange also has 2 Oscars, an Emmy, several Emmys, as does Meryl Streep. But she has a Tony Award, which Meryl Streep doesn't have.
Mm.
And so I think when you look at good actresses of our time, when they say Meryl Streep is the best actress currently, I think you'd have to add Jessica Lange to that list.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw her. She played Frances Farmer in the film Frances in the 80s, and I saw that recently. And she's quite good in it, and she is underrated as an actress. Even that thing that she did with Drew Barrymore a few years back.
Yeah, what movie was that?
They played mother and daughter. It was a good film.
That's going to drive me crazy.
So Feud, that runs, I guess it started last night and it'll run for, I guess, 7 more weeks. And I was reading up on what he has planned next, and his next thing is Charles and Diana, a miniseries about them.
Oh, really?
So I guess we'll have all the English actors now. That he can work with.
That's okay. It was Losing Isaiah, the movie with Jessica Lange and Halle Berry.
Oh no! Yeah, okay. Probably the Drew Barrymore one was the they were mother and daughter.
Oh, sorry, Drew Barrymore. What was that? Why did I think Halle Berry?
Barry.
Yeah. Drew Barrymore and Jessica Lange. What movie was that? Grey Gardens.
Yeah, that was based on the documentary. They were relatives of Jackie Kennedy. And dramatic film based on the documentary, which was in the 70s. It's a very campy, very, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, kind of Home on the Range type.
So anyway, yeah, Feud is good. And if you're a big fan of Hollywood, you know, it's a great profile of old Hollywood in the 50s and 60s. And
well, it sounds interesting, and Ryan Murphy is great, so
yeah,
it's probably something I'll want to check out
for
sure. I guess in between American Horror Story starting again and whatever else
is she in that, Jessica Lange in that new season?
You know what? I don't know. I've tried not to. I've tried not to spoil it for myself too much.
Yeah.
So I think Lady Gaga is in it.
She's done it before, hasn't she?
She did. She did the Hotel, which my brother quoted as pretty much a Lady Gaga miniseries, because it seemed to be all about her. But this next season, they say it's supposed to be almost like a mock of the elections.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'm like, I'm kind of done with all the election stuff, so I don't really need that in my show right now.
Well, I think we're done for this week. I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, sounds good. That's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, March 6th, 2017.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.